Hello and welcome back for another episode of Life After Sport. And I want to give you, again, as always, full transparency that this episode is probably something that it's going to be an episode that you don't want to listen to when you have kids around. Okay, so just to give you that little bit of a heads up, we're going to be talking, I'm going to be discussing the real life aspect as to what happens once our sporting career finishes, the depression, the upsetting truths, and ultimately when we can't accept that all these dreams of glory are now a thing of the past. So just for your listener's discretion, please make sure that there's not going to be any other kids that are underage listening to this one. So sit back, take notes if needs be, and let's get ready to enjoy. Just really quickly before we take off with this episode, I just, as always, want to give a massive shout out to our sponsor, Greenfield Yogurts. So guys, as always, really, really appreciate this, and I hope as well this message can get through as to how much pride you take in your work. And again, I really appreciate you being able to sponsor this. But just about the product, it's quite simply absolutely class. There is no added sweeteners, thickeners, or preservatives like you might see in some of the other yogurts that you're going to pick up off the shelf. They might taste super, super sweet, but what tastes really, really good sometimes might not have the best of stuff in it all the time. So with this product, I just find it absolutely amazing. Hits that sweet tooth, okay, when you do have it, but also what I really appreciate, especially as an athlete, is that this yogurt also aids digestion and immune system health and function too. And to give a little bit of the specifics, there's over 7 billion good bacteria in it. And if you don't know that the good quality bacteria that we need in our gut is probably the most important thing to help with aiding digestion and reducing bloat, which I know from my own experience is something that I suffered with before. But guys, I just want to give a massive shout out to our sponsor. You're absolutely incredible, and I really appreciate how you take so much pride in the fact that your yogurt is made entirely from the milk of your cows at home on the farm in Killavulland. So massive appreciation to our sponsor as always, but let's not hold back because I want to really, really jump into this episode. So let's go. Guys, as always with every single one of these episodes, what my sole purpose is to make sure that the views that I'm bringing you are fully transparent. Okay, and I think this is most definitely something that a lot of us, yes, us as humans, yes, us as athletes and as former athletes, we don't want to discuss. Because quite simply, it comes across as a sign of weakness. But I do think it's fair to say that this is a real thing. And it's becoming a little bit more and more prevalent as the days, weeks, months and years go on. And it is the depression in that retired athlete. The person that has quite simply gone to training every Tuesday and Thursday on the pitch. We've always had a gym session or recovery session on a Monday. And then it could have been gym Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, rest day Friday, game Saturday, or game Sunday. And there's a few different parts of this that I want to discuss. And one is a little bit more as to how this whole entire lifestyle, once it comes to an end, you realize that it might be consuming the vast majority of your life. And I know for me, it definitely, definitely was. So for context, you might be able to relate to this. What I was doing was I was going to training every Monday and Wednesday, gym every Tuesday and Thursday, obviously from the age of 16. And then once I got to 19, so under 20s in rugby, I was only playing for my local club. I wasn't a phenomenal rugby player, but I was most definitely the most committed. And I would say that with a lot of confidence, and some of my teammates at the time, they'd gone on to play professional and semi-professional sport. But you can't help but deny the fact that that becomes part of your lifestyle. It becomes part of you. It becomes part of what it is that you do in the everyday life. But once it's removed, and you can speak for this for a sense of injury that you might have experienced, all you want to do is get back. You just want to get back to playing. And it's not an obsession in a negative way. It's an obsession in a healthy way. That it becomes your whole entire routine. And yes, we might bust ourselves when it comes from the season starting in September right through until April or May, and you say, right, you know what, I'm happy to kind of relax a little bit and go into the off season. But after 2 or 3 weeks, you're itching to get back. You're itching for the off season to start, or the pre-season. And just to have a very quick reflection on this one, because it's such a big thing, as that season rolls into the next one and the next one and the next one, if you look at the age of 20, 25, 30, 35, whenever it is that you're retiring, it becomes a real thing that you have to accept. Is that right? There might actually be a life outside of sport right now. And often making these extensive personal sacrifices to make to these trainings, you may well see how it could have an impact on relationships. It could have an impact on family life, right? Because it is a massive part of us as athletes. And all of a sudden, when that's taken away, we're left with all this extra time. We don't have to do anything. And one of the big problems that I've seen is that there's no real buzz, okay, or like big massive events of extensive amounts of excitement to look forward to. Now, me personally, I'm very grateful that I found this back in adventure racing after a couple of years, adventure racing, triathlon, trail running, ultras. I'm really, really happy for that. But if you think about the sense of loss that a lot of us might get, and we will go through it. You will be going to the gym. You're going to the gym for the sake of it, but it's not really going to bring back that fire. It's not really making you want to be consistent, because that level of banter that was in the dressing room, you're just not going to be able to get that back. And feeling like you're part of a team, it's very often something that goes completely under the radar. Now, as we go through that transition, okay, from having to accept that, right, now the pitch is no longer there, and I now have to literally take this energy, take this extra time that I have, and just put it back into my family. In theory, that might be really simple to say to somebody. Oh, just go home to your wife. Oh, just go home to your husband. Just go home to your partner, your friends, your family, whatever. And just put more time and effort into them. Because it's not actually that fucking easy to do. And with that, there's not really much of a sense of connection unless it has been pointed out to you. And why I say this is because we as human beings, we're wired for connection with other human beings. With that connection, there needs to be a sense of knowing who the person is. You need to be able to like them and be relatable, and you also need to be able to trust them. And I'm not saying that we don't know, like, or trust our other halves if we're in relationships, but sometimes you feel like they just don't get it. And that's no discredit to them. That's no means of malice. But sometimes they just don't relate. They just can't get that you want to suffer by physically battering your body through a ruck or chasing the high ball to assert your dominance, and somebody else say, I was able to jump higher, I was able to demand you out of my way so I could take that ball from you, and now I can run through another horde of players and kick the ball over the bar. And with that lack of trust, lack of relatability from your other half, it might just leave a little bit of a idle room. And if there's a little bit more white space, blank space in the diary, what you might often see is that the old adage, or the old saying that people might call it, is an idle mind is a devil's playground. And this is the difficult part, because we don't necessarily have a place to go to. We don't have a safe keeping, as we might feel, of right, now I get to go to the pitch on a Tuesday night. And I know it's shitty, it's pissing rain, but I'm really looking forward to it because I get to see my teammates. I get to feel like I'm part of that team. And that's that stronger sense of connection and that sense of belonging. Now, I'm 100% aware as well, by the way, this might sound really fucking hippie. Okay, so if anybody's listening thinking, geez, your man's going off on a spiritual one, I'm not. I'm just being really, really real and raw, as my promise to you is to bring on these podcasts. And if there's no real sense of connection, we're going to seek it in other ways. And if we're going to seek it in other ways, what we can also feel, since we're now lost, right, we can now chase that sense of procrastination, because we want to numb the sensation that we're feeling right now in this present moment. And that sensation, that feeling is, I'm lost, I have nothing to do, I don't feel strong, I don't feel like I'm living. And that can very often lead to not being present in conversations with other people. That can very often lead to just winging your day and chasing an emotional hit. And if we're chasing that emotional hit, that is often going to come out in other aspects of behavior, which can be drinking on the weekend, drinking during the week to take the quote unquote, take the edge off of your day and the stresses, because we can't deal with it. It could be smoking, could be porn addictions, it could be alcohol and drugs on the weekend. Which is why it's very common for us to see that when it does come to the weekend or even during the week, there could be an improv bender of, do you want to go for a sesh? Yeah, fuck it, no problem at all. But that wouldn't have been the case if we were consistently kept in routine and if we had a game to look forward to. Yes, we might have gone out on the piss afterwards with your teammates to celebrate and have fun. But if it is very often to be a case of, no, I'm committed, I'm focused, I have a game, you're focused on that, and then the piss up might happen afterwards. But that's just an added bonus, but it's not the number one thing that we focus on. So if there's not really a strong sense of connection, if there's not really a strong sense of purpose or focus, this is where that feeling of loss of identity can often come through in other aspects and areas of life. Okay, so just to point that one out, because it's not necessarily that there's a problem with the person. There could just be a problem with the person's focus, right? If that might be something that you could have identified back in the past or even now, right, maybe it might just be a means to you to stop and say, you know what, I need to feel like I'm part of something again. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is after getting really popular in the last couple of years. I would be very pushy to get people into that. I would be pushy to get somebody to try out triathlon. Because gym, going to the gym, lifting weights, getting strong, building muscle, it just doesn't do it for people all the time. You have to have performance metrics. You have to have something to chase. You have to have a standard that you have to set every single day. And when you get to want to do that, that's the thing that might just make the biggest difference in you. Okay, so just to wrap that one up, the loss of identity. Okay, an individual's identity may contain numerous dimensions, right? However, it is possible for one of us or for one of our senses of identity in particular to become dominant or preferred and a lens through which the others are viewed. Right, that might sound a little bit confusing, but quite simply, if you think of your athletic identity, right, strong, bold, brave, willingness to back themselves, courageous. So you see a ruck when you're playing rugby and you have a split second to decide, am I going to bowl through it or am I going to back off? Like, and it's within those split seconds of making a decision or not, that's the moment that you get to step into that identity. So if you're to carry that athletic identity into your everyday life, it comes with a strong sense of certainty and confidence that you will have. So how can you see that in your work life? Is it every day, I'm strong, I'm bold, I'm daring, I'm confident, I'm going to make this presentation. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to back myself and I'm going to fucking show everybody else that this is how you play a ball. And it's that attitude, it's that identity. But when that gets completely lost, because we see that there's no more tunnel vision, because that tunnel vision might have always been of, I need to get to training so that each and every effort that's put in allows us to win more games, get closer to winning the league. That's always been the focus and that's tunnel vision. But now if that's gone, we can feel a sense of being lost. And that's something that I struggled with before. And as I said, I didn't reach rugby to the highest level. Don't think I ever could have, if I'm to be perfectly honest. But I've taken a hell of a lot of things from it that allowed me to see and to be able to relate to other people that now you might just be feeling lost because the sport is removed. And if there is a poor sense of purpose, that poor sense of purpose can be the number one thing that's essentially just completely derailing you. And it could be carrying into your professional life. It could be carrying into your personal life. And somebody used to say, what's wrong with you? You're like, nothing. Just fuck off. I just don't want to talk. And yes, that can be you retracting back into yourself. You don't feel strong or vulnerable enough to talk about it with other people because they just don't get it. And that was something as well that I struggled with for a while, realizing that I felt like I didn't have a focus. I didn't have something to be able to talk to other people about. It was either chatting with my friends at the time that were still playing sport and I just resented them because they were able to do something that I wasn't after I tore my ACL. But I think it would be fair to say that, like, I think people suffer from depression after retiring from sport because they aren't sure where to apply that focus. And there is a lot of focus and a lot of selfishness in sports people, but we have to learn to redirect it. And one thing that I'll always say to my clients as well is, write out your happy list. Okay, and this might sound incredibly simple, but it's probably the most practical thing that you can do. Writing out 20, at least 20 things that make you happy. So for me, it could be going for a walk with Rachel. It could be walking Kobe. It could be me checking in with my clients, having strong, compelling conversations, listening to music, listening to a good podcast, getting fresh air, working out, physically getting that sensation that my muscles are getting, what we all might relate to is lactic-y. They're just getting tight. You feel like your muscles are getting so big now that your skin is tightening around them. Those are the things that make me happy. What else makes me happy is allowing myself to physically push to a whole new level that I feel like my heart is going to come out my throat. That's a secret sensation that we absolutely fucking love when it comes pre-season. You hate to admit that that's one of the biggest things that we miss. Okay? But if we can't see our lives following another career path, right? And as soon as that actual retirement comes, it's very much going to be a case that there's a void that we cannot fill. And if there is a void that we cannot fill, that's not going to allow us to be present because we're just going to be chasing the next hit, the next hit, the next hit. Okay? So one of the biggest, most beneficial, practical things that I would give you to take away is writing down your happy list. And if you're ever caught in those moments that you feel like, right, I'm stuck. I'm nearly numb right now from emotion. I feel like I'm a little bit paralyzed because I'm overthinking things. First thing you need to identify is that you cannot think your way out of a problem. All you're going to do is you're going to get stuck in a loophole and you'll stay there. And then you'll stay there until the day is over. And then once the day is over, we're going to chase that happy hit that we might get. Again, cracking open a bottle of wine. Could be opening a bottle of vodka, whatever might be the case. Or it could be hidden in the fact of just chasing the Netflix, the cup of tea, the 17 biscuits, because that gives you a sense of release. Okay, but when you find yourself in those moments, you need to go back to the happy list. You see that happy list, you stop and you look and go, right, I need to do something right now that's going to make me happy. Because when we clear up our perception as to how we see something, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a clearer perception when you are happier. And when you are happy, you can operate from a point of view of the glass being half full and not half empty. Okay, so that's one big, big practical that I will give you. The second thing is to make sure that you have something exciting to look forward to. Okay, something that you can say to your partner and say, hey, you know what, we are going to do something that we get to look forward to that brings us excitement. That could be a physical activity. That could be you saying to your other half, I'm going to cook dinner tomorrow night and then we're going to go to the cinema. Something that gives you a weird little bit of a tingling sensation, something to look forward to. Okay, and with that, you'll notice your whole perspective changes because just like we would have had with the game to look forward to on a Saturday, and it could have been against a team that's probably going to kick the shit out of you physically or mentally, you know they're going to put up a big battle because they're going to be talking shit into your ear, right? But it always bred a sense of excitement for you. With that, we're going to need to look at changing it, okay? When you're looking at changing that sense of excitement, you're taking ownership. When you're taking ownership, that gives you back that sense of control, that sense of empowerment. And when you get that, that's when you're stepping back into that identity, right? The one that allows you to stay focused, the one that allows you to be a champion at home, the one that allows you to recognize that, you know what? I don't need that old sport to define me anymore. Right now, I may feel a strong sense of depression after the sport is finished, but I don't deserve this. Okay, I need to operate from a place of happiness and a surplus of energy. Not feeling shit and feeling alone like something is lost. What you do need to do is to explore a couple of other options. What else gives me that sense? What else is it that I want? 9 times out of 10, it's going to come from a pretty fucking big challenge that scares the shit out of you. And that's not going to run a 5K, because if you have an athlete mentality, you know that a 5K, no disrespect to anybody else that might struggle with it, but you know that a 5K is fucking easy. You know that it's just a case of, I just need to run 1 kilometer 5 times. That's all that one is. But if it's something that's going to challenge you, that's going to have to keep your focus for a much longer period of time, that's where you might notice, oh, this is a challenge that might well just scare the shit out of me. Now, with that sense of challenge that's coming, that's the kind of shit that's going to scare me into action. And when that is the stuff that scares you into action, that gives you a strong sense of excitement because you're being challenged. You now get a little bit of a lump in your throat. You now realize that your eyes have gotten a little bit wider and a little bit more bug-eyed. And when your eyes do get a little bit more bug-eyed, it makes you think, shit, I need to fucking act right now. I need to do something. And I need to now physically move my body in order to get to a goal. That brings focus. That brings discipline. That brings commitment. That brings back a strong sense of identity, which is exactly what it is that you might be standing for. You may just not realize it. Okay, so guys, that's one thing that I really wanted to talk about, is that it is real. Okay, the actual mental changes because of lack of focus, lack of purpose that we may be feeling as we retire from sport. It's a very real thing. Okay, and I want to level with you from somebody that has been there, feeling like he's been completely and utterly lost, having to endure an injury and then having to get surgery, and seeing people go through this every single day but not wanting to confront it. That's not what an athlete is. An athlete is strong, bold. They have confidence and courage within their actions and within their ability. So what I will say is, yes, the happy list is incredibly important, but the second thing what I will work to really, really empower you with is to give yourself a stronger sense of focus and purpose. Okay, so one thing that I always say is be a champion at home first. I heard it before in a podcast and I just thought, you know what, that's absolutely fucking amazing and it's so relevant. Being a champion at home first, that can come right down to your management skills. It can come down to your organization. But what is it that it's doing for you? It's keeping your environment clean. It's also making sure to remove all of the scattered shitty thoughts that you might have in your head, because a clear environment is going to be a direct representation of your headspace. Clean environment is incredible. I say this now, and if Rachel is listening back, she's going to say, well, why didn't you fucking do the dishes this morning? So sorry, Rachel, if you're listening back in this one. But as an athlete, you want to constantly optimize your environment. So that's one thing that I would say to you. Optimize your environment by being a champion at home first. You're being a champion at home first. Showcase that level of respect and love to other people exactly as you had done so as that high performing athlete. That one that was committed and focused on getting the gym sessions done, getting to training early and leaving late because they'd constantly put in their absolute everything because they wanted to be able to say, at the end of the time that I'm finishing this, I'm physically looking forward to tying my two boots together by the laces and hanging them up over that place in the dressing room that I got to look forward to every single weekend. And that's going to give you a strong sense of ability. Okay, so guys, I just want to touch on this one. I just want to level with everybody that depression in sport or depression after sport is a pretty real thing. And if I could do anything to give you a strong sense of ability, it is that level of empowerment and belief that I can give to you that you're not alone. Okay, your old coaches, feel free to reach out to them. Right, your old teammates, feel free to reach out to them. Feel free to quite simply just fucking grab life by the balls and do the shit that you want to do. Do the things that you know is going to give you a strong sense of empowerment and purpose and ability. Because those are the things that are really going to allow you to feel like you're in control, just like you were one time. And you still will crave that in other aspects of your life. But I will empower you to continue to do exactly that. So guys, on that one, I'm going to let you be. I hope you're having an absolutely cracking day. And as always, if there's anything else that I can do to help, feel free to reach out, shoot me a message, DM. We have free emails as well that are going out every single day, laced with value to help keep you physically, mentally, and emotionally in check, driving forward with focus. There's also a free Facebook group. If you want as well, let me know, and I'd be more than happy to ping you over the details on that one. And guys, if there's anything else that I can do, just ping me a DM, ping me a message. I'm available on Instagram at Strength Catalyst, or if you want to hit me directly, it's thestrengthcatalyst@gmail.com, and I'll ping you over loads of resources. Whatever it is that you might feel the need is going to help you. But the number one most important thing that I want you to take away from this is to have that sense of confidence, to have that sense of courage and bravery, to know that you do deserve to live life at full fucking tilt with full autonomy, full control. Okay, but the hardest part is going to be to confront the reality and look in the mirror.